appreciate those songs. Amen. I'm glad I've got somewhere to go when I'm ready to leave this world. Amen. And I know where it is. I'm headed to heaven over in the glory land. Amen. I love those old songs and appreciate the fact that we still sing those. Amen. And it's a blessing to me. All right. Revelation chapter number 3. I'm going to head back where I was this morning. And we're going to look at this one more time. This admonition that the Lord gave to this church of the Laodiceans. And I do appreciate you being in the house of God tonight. And appreciate you being faithful and being patient to endure the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God is shouting ground and sometimes it's skinning ground. But if we'll take the rebuke and do with it what God intends to be done, we'll be back on shouting ground. That's right. Amen. And I'm glad that is true. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I'll read through verse 22 and then take our text and move on. Verse 14, the Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. I'll ask Brother Hall if he will lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord again tonight for the song.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate the prayer. We're looking tonight. This is the third and final look at this section, which is the third point of the letter written to the church of the Laodiceans. It is I believe it is the focal point of this letter. The Lord zeroed in and the bullseye was on this point of the complaint which our Lord registered to the church of the Laodiceans. It was an apostate church. It was a church that had erred from the faith and erred from the truth. Now, we looked already at the address as we normally do. We noticed that there was no admiration, there was nothing good that Christ could say about the pastor or the church here at Laodicea. Christ just goes into the admonition as he goes in and blasts them, if I could say it that way, for their lukewarm condition. He chastened them, chastised them because of that lukewarm condition, even going to the point of saying that it sickened him and that he was about ready to spew them out of his mouth. Then we went this morning, we looked at a little bit further as the Lord rebuked this pastor and his church, and we saw that Christ was angered at their boastfulness and their blindness. He was angered at the fact that they made a big boast, they had a prideful testimony, but there was a pitiful truth, and that they were not nearly as well off as they thought they were. And so the Lord declared unto them exactly what they were. They were in the most miserable and pitiful condition.
They had spiritual poverty. They were blind and they were naked. Now, having said that, that leads us on to the point that we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to look at verse number 18. I'm just going to preach verse number 18 tonight and give you the thoughts from it, and then we'll go to the house. All right? Verse number 18, he starts out with, I counsel thee. And so you might imagine, in looking at verse number 18, that this is part of the advice that the Lord's going to give. But I don't believe it falls in that category, and I'll tell you why. There's two reasons. First of all, is because the sentence is continuing on from verse number 17. If you notice, verse 17 talks about because thou sayest, and he goes through what they've said, he goes through what their condition really is, and he says, here's what you better do about it. This is my advice, if I could say it. But his advice is not in helping them get it straight. He's going to do that in a little bit later when he's talking about as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. There's his advice, is accept the chastening, listen to the advice, and then you can get some help from it. But in this, what he's pointing out to them, these things he's advising them, is still part of his admonition. He is still bluntly showing them their problem and bluntly showing them that they're not nearly as well off as they think they are. All right, so let's read verse 18 again. The Bible says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. Now, I've broken this down into three parts. This is E, F, and G, because we already had A, B, C, and D in the previous messages. But this E, the first part that we're looking at tonight, is verse 18, the first part. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. He said, you said you're rich, but you're poor. But you could be rich. There are riches to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Amen. And when we look at this statement or these statements, our Lord deals with the problems of the Laodiceans in the same order in which He declared their real condition to be. He mentioned, first of all, in their boastful, their prideful boasting, this is what they said about themselves. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. It's as if they were saying this, I have attained wealth on my own. I am a self-made man. It's almost as if they're saying that. It made me think of a self-promoting politician. I'm providing my own way. And it's all me. I'm the best. I'm the pinnacle. And that's what they're saying. I am rich. I am increased with goods. I got here on my own and I've amassed this fortune and I have added to it in my own power. It's as if they're saying, and I have need of nothing. They are saying I am self-made and I am self-sustained. By the way, they're trying to take the place of God because God's the only one that is self-made and self-sustained. He is the self-existing one. Amen. He is. I am. That's Him. Amen. But they're trying to take the credit and they're trying to say that they're rich and all the emphasis is on me. I am. You notice that. And so our Lord says to them, well, you need gold. You need real gold. That's what He's saying. You need gold that's been tried in the fire. Gold that has been proven of its value. When gold goes through the fire, it does not hurt the gold. It purifies the gold. Amen. All the dross is burned away. All the wax is gone out. All the fake is gone from it. The only thing left is pure gold. That's why Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Job knew there's something good in him. It wasn't him. It was God. It was Christ in him. Amen. And Jesus is saying, you need real gold. You don't have it. When you go through the fire, your wax is going to melt. When you go through the fire, your dross is going to come to the top and it's going to be skimmed off. He said, what you need is real gold down on the inside. Amen. And notice where they get that gold. He said, you're going to have to buy it of me. You see that? Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. How are they going to get that gold? They're going to have to come to Jesus. You don't get that on your own. Amen. You're not a self-made Christian. Amen. You are what you are by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. You are where you are by the good grace of God. So our Lord said, you have to buy this. I mean, not that they're going to have to give Him money, but they're going to have to give up their pride. They're going to have to give up everything else. They're going to have to throw it all away and recognize they need Him more than they need anything else. Amen. And so He said to them, you need gold. You need real gold that's been tried in the fire. Now, when He mentions gold and He mentions fire, it reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you want to turn back there. And Paul the Apostle is talking about a judgment day that's coming even for the child of God. Amen. Not a judgment that's going to send us to hell. It's not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ, where Christ tries our work, and if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it will be burnt up and it'll be gone. But if it is gold and silver and precious stones, then we will be rewarded for that. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 12 is where I'll pick up reading. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Amen. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now don't turn away from that verse yet, but our Lord is saying to these people here at the Church of the Laodiceans, He's saying there's coming a day when there's going to be a fire going to try your works, and if you don't have gold, it won't last through the fire. And so He said, you need gold that has been proven in the fire and that will last through the fire. Now, where are they going to get that gold? Well, our scripture that I just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I started verse 12, look back one verse. Verse 11 tells us where that gold comes from. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the gold. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. Jesus Christ is what this church of the Laodiceans needed. They thought they were doing pretty good, but He said to them, you need Jesus. Amen. So you see that they were trying to build a religious artifice. They were trying to build a religious assembly and call it a church, but they were trying to build that structure without it being placed on the Lord Jesus and without it being anchored in the Lord Jesus. If Jesus is not the chief cornerstone, then the building will crumble and will fall. Amen. It doesn't matter how good the singing is, how good the teaching is. It doesn't matter how large the numbers are, how fine the building is. If Jesus is not the emphasis, there's something bad wrong. Amen. And I'll go on and say more about that in a minute. But our Lord pointed out to these people at the church of the Laodiceans that they needed gold. They needed real gold, and the only place to get that was from Him. His gold is fresh from the furnace. Amen. His gold has its sheen and has its purity and has its shine. Their gold was counterfeit. It was fool's gold. They thought it was gold, but it wasn't gold. It looked shiny to all those who did not know how to judge gold, but it was false. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back to a point I made just a minute ago, and I was to say it in a different angle. But we may get excited and boast about that we have great singing. And by the way, I'm glad we do have some talented folk here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. And I'm glad people are interested in using their talent to glorify the Lord. Amen. Not trying to get on the road, get them a diesel bus, amen, and get on the road and make big money, make a big name for themselves, but they're interested in blessing their church and blessing their home folk. Amen. I'm glad for that, but we can brag on that. We can brag on the teaching. I'm glad we have good King James Bible teaching. Amen. I'm glad that we have people that study the Word of God and try to give us something from the Word of God. But in spite of all that, if Jesus is absent, our service is a failure. Amen. We might have large buildings ornamented with the finest art and built with the finest materials. And yet if we shut Jesus on the outside and we lock Jesus on the outside, our building is nothing more than a prison keeping us in and Him out. Amen. Our religion is a farce if it's not built on Jesus. In short, everything in Christianity is based on Jesus. Amen. He is the centerpiece. And so our Lord said to them, you need gold. And in this verse, back in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, in this verse, Jesus is offering them advice and counsel about the spiritual elements that they're in need of. But He is doing it in a rebuking, admonishing way. Amen. By the way, they have to see their poverty. They have to recognize how bankrupt they are before they can ever get any help. They have to be humbled and they have to be humiliated before they can ever get any help. Amen. I've had in the past, I remember a lady told a member at Vision when I was pastoring there, said, this lady said, and it was to her brother, she said, one of the reasons I don't like to go to church, she said, I don't feel comfortable when I go. Well, the style of living she is doing, she shouldn't feel comfortable. She needs some help. Amen. Not that we try to, not that we're ugly or mean. Well, we can't help being ugly. Not that we're mean. Not that we, not that we go out of our way to make them angry or make them uncomfortable. But the fact is, the preaching of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, when I got help was when I got uncomfortable. When I realized that I was in sin and that sin was not doing me good, but was doing me bad. That sin was going to condemn me to hell and sin was going to destroy my life. That's when I got some help. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord had to rebuke them in order for them to see their need and get any help. It's a humbling experience. It's a humiliating experience. But Paul learned this experience. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll come back to Revelation 3 in a minute. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read a number of verses from here in Philippians 3 that gives you Paul's personal experience. And we can see how he was humbled, but he found real gold. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He's talking about being a Jew. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now the reason I kept reading on past that, because it completed the sentence, but Paul was saying to us here, he is saying we are of those, if you see the verses before, we're of those that put our trust in God and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I'm not a Christian because I'm an American. I'm a Christian because I've been born again by the grace of God. Amen. You're not a Christian because you're a Kentuckian. You're not a Christian because your last name is whatever it is. You're a Christian, if you are, simply because you've been bought with a price and you've been put in the family of God by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. And so Paul was saying here, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He knew the pride of strict religious training. But he came to realize that his religious training only blinded him to real gold. It blinded him to the truth. And the only way he could find the truth was to humble himself and seek after Christ. and forsake all that behind him. All those things that he thought were spiritual riches, he had to count them as nothing, less than nothing. He had to count them as manure that he might gain Christ. Amen. But in finding Christ, Paul is saying that he had found real heavenly gold. Amen. Now, here's the church of the Laodiceans. We go back there. The church of the Laodiceans is bragging about their gold. They're bragging about their opulence and their wealth and all that kind of stuff. They got real gold and they're bragging on that. But the Lord said it's not real gold because God does not deal in the gold of this world. They walk on gold in heaven. Amen. They walk on it. It's as if it's nothing. You remember in the days of Solomon, the Bible talks about all that gold that they had, and it said silver beyond numbering, and it said because silver was not counted as anything in the days of Solomon because it was so plenteous, and Solomon had all that gold. Well, in heaven, God's above Solomon. There's a greater than Solomon has come, and he does not even count gold as anything. He's looking for something more than gold. The gold God trades in is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you don't have a penny in God's economy. Without faith, you don't have a dime to your name in God's economy. God trades in faith. Amen. And he's saying to this church here, you need to buy something that monetary gold can't buy. You're going to have to trade in faith. Amen. The people of Laodicea had plenty of earthly gold. But to be spiritually rich, they had to learn to trade and be rich in faith. And that's mentioned in the Scriptures back in James chapter number 4, just a few pages back. James chapter 2, he mentions about being rich in faith. I like this verse. And I thought I'd plug it in right here. James chapter 2. And then Peter mentions it as well. But James chapter 2 verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You see that phrase? Rich in faith. They may not have any gold, but God don't count gold worth anything much anyway. And so he says, but they are rich in faith, and because of that, they're going to be heirs to the kingdom, amen, that God's going to bring on this world. Now turn over to 1 Peter, just a few pages over there, chapter number 1, probably a couple of pages. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Here's what Peter says. Brother Hall's been preaching along some of this on his morning broadcast. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so after admonishing the church of the Laodiceans that their earthly gold was worthless, he says to them, there is some heavenly gold that you can have that will stand the test and will stand the fire. Amen. Then after talking to them about their gold, he moves on to talk about their garments. Look down at verse number 18 again, Revelation 3:18. He talked to them about their gold, and that's the main thing you need to deal with, because it seems to me as if there are people that believe that they are going to be able to purchase their way into heaven, either with monetary things or with not necessarily material things, but with just their works. We got all kinds of churches built on a works-based salvation. That if you can just pray enough prayers, if you can just knock on enough doors, if you can just agree to enough things and do enough things, you can get into heaven. Listen, it's not by our doing that we get to heaven. If we could do enough to get there, why did Christ go to Calvary? Amen. He went to Calvary to pay the debt that we couldn't pay, as Sister Sharon and Miss Hall sang. Amen. Amen. He paid that debt for us. So he goes on talking from their gold, talking about their garments. Look at verse number 18 again. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So he's counseling them not only to buy gold, but to buy white raiment. Now I believe it's very obvious that the raiment comes from the same place the gold comes from. It's not the raiment that they make down in Laodicea, but it's a raiment made only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Any other raiment that comes from anywhere else than Christ is nothing but filthy rags. Amen. And so Christ is telling them that they need to be clothed with Him. They need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Amen. They need to put on the new man, which is fashioned after Christ that the Bible talks about. And they've not done that. Now, listen to me. This fact that these people seem to have little or no regard for Christ, the fact that these people had little or no regard for decency and righteousness, seems to point to me to the fact that most of them were unsaved. They were unsaved. And if there were those in there that were saved, they were at least grossly immature in the things of Christ. Christ is on the outside of the church of the Laodiceans. Now, here's something I got to thinking about just the other day, and I'll just chase this rabbit just about that far, and I'll come back and finish my thought on this. You know, there's ideas that people have, different ideas of the church. We've talked about it. Brother Hall and I have talked about it at length. And throw out things. I believe that any time in this King James Bible that the word church is used, he's almost always talking about a local, visible church. He's not talking about some invisible figment of somebody's imagination. He's talking about a local, physical church. This church of the Laodiceans. But there are some, and I get this from the Catholics, that the Catholics say that the church is all believers wrapped up together. Well, if that's so, then there'd be no unbelievers in the church. It'd be impossible to have unbelievers in the church if the church is all believers. And there's unbelievers in the church at Laodicea. That's the thought I got. There's unbelievers at the church at Laodicea, and there could very well be unbelievers on the roll of the church of Island Ford Baptist Church. It's happened before, right? We've had it. I know Sister Bell testified this morning, and Brother Philip did, others did, but Sister Bell testified and specifically talked about, thank God that He showed her that she was lost. Her name was on the roll. She is a part of the church as far as we're concerned, but she is unsaved. Listen, I'm telling you, God, Christ is saying to this church here, you're naked, you don't even know it, but I've got clothing, I'll be glad to clothe you if you'll only come to Me. Amen. And that's what he said. So just as the gold is offered by the Lord is not physical gold, but rather spiritual gold, I believe the garments are not actually physical garments either. Amen. They are spiritual coverings that reveal to God and to the world that we've been made a new creature, that a change has been made on the inner man. Amen. And it is a testimony of righteousness. Amen. Here's some verses of scripture. I'll throw it out. You don't have to turn. In Matthew 5:16, our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Now, how is that? How do they see that? The inner man works out to the outside, and they can see what's on the outside. That is our clothing. Amen. Romans chapter number 13 and verse 13 and 14. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so putting on Jesus means that we have been saved by the grace of God and the world can see a difference in our life. Amen. And our Lord said to the church of the Laodiceans, you don't have that. You don't have spiritual riches. You don't have faith. You don't have a clothing of righteousness. You're not clothed. You don't have a wedding garment on. Amen. Your name's on the roll, but you're not really a part. That's what He's saying. Amen. And so He's saying to them that their clothing is inappropriate. Now, I'll throw this out. I believe as Christians are careful. They long to please the Lord, and therefore they ought to be careful that their clothing is modest, and it's clean, and it's appropriate. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about physical clothing now. We ought to be careful about that, that our clothing is modest, that it's clean, and that it's appropriate, because we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not wish to draw attention to ourselves or cause others to stumble. Amen. But we wish to give a good impression of our Savior. Amen. Amen. I was preaching revival somewhere one time, and a couple of nights, as ladies came in with their blouse very low, and one night I made a comment. I said, we invite sinners to come. We want them to see Jesus, not your blouse unbuttoned. Amen. We want to be careful about that kind of thing. Male and female, by the way. Amen. We want to be careful about that kind of thing. He's speaking, though, here, not just about the outer covering. He's talking about the inner covering. But at the same time, he said that the shame of your nakedness. Look at verse 18 again. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Amen. Appear. I believe he's talking about this, just like Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, their nakedness shone forth. When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to make themselves coverings. They made aprons of fig leaves. But when God showed up, by the way, it looked all right to Adam, I imagine, and I'll just take this, it probably goes all the way back to Eve. Eve tried her apron on, and the first thing she said, how does this look? Does it make me look fat? She probably said, am I covered enough? Adam said, you look fine to me. Adam put his on. She said, you look fine to me. But when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the evening, all of a sudden it might have looked good to Adam and it might have looked good to Eve, but in their heart they knew it was not going to be acceptable with God. And so they not only tried to cover with their aprons of fig leaves, they tried to cover with the trees of the wood, and they hid themselves in the woods and in the bushes. But God said, Adam, where art thou? Amen. God was not satisfied with the man-made clothing. God was not satisfied with them hiding away from Him. The only thing that satisfied God was when a lamb was slain and a covering was provided by God Himself to cover them. Amen. I'm telling you, the only thing that'll satisfy a holy God, it does not matter if you've got a dress that reaches your chin and reaches to the floor, or if you're wearing clothes that are perfectly made, and then that does not matter to God in this fact, that the only thing that satisfies Him is salvation down in the heart. The blood of the Lamb is what He's looking for. Amen. Amen. And so He said here to them at Laodicea, you need an appropriate covering. Your covering's inappropriate. You've got a religious cloak. Amen. But it does not cover the inner man. It does not cover the sinner. It actually leaves him naked and exposed in the judgment of the judge. And these Laodiceans found out that they needed more than religion. They needed Christ and His righteousness. Amen. Now, let me just ask this question and move on. Is it possible that even here, there may be somebody here tonight, or there may be somebody listening over the radio, that your name's on the row, you may be sitting on a church pew or chair, and yet you don't have Jesus on the inside? Is it possible that it's all, you're trying to hide in the crowd? You're trying to surround yourself with religious people and do religious things and get up involved in all that, but on the inside, God's going to show up one of these days and you're going to be exposed and you're going to be found out. Amen. Jesus offers garments that can be bought without money. Amen. Amen. He offers garments that will cleanse you, cover you from your sin. Amen. If you'll only acknowledge your need and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, lastly, verse number 18, he said, not only I counsel thee to buy gold and white raiment, but he said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Now, I believe again we could say emphatically, without the Lord having to state it emphatically, that the eye salve comes from the same place that the clothing comes from and that the gold comes from. It's not the eye salve that the Laodiceans could produce. It's not the eye salve that the psychiatrist can produce, or that the schools of higher learning can produce. Amen. It's not the eye salve that the denomination can produce. It's not the eye salve that just repeating a prayer can produce. It's not the eye salve that any man can produce. It's eye salve that comes from the Lord Himself. Now there's scriptural reference for that. In John chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. You know the story. I'm sure you do. Our Lord met a blind man, and our Lord spat on the ground, and He made clay of the spittle. And He, exactly what this verse said, He anointed that blind man's eyes. Amen. Told him to go wash And he went and washed and came back seeing. Amen. Now, I don't believe our Lord's saying, here, what you need is for me to spit on you. Amen. And I don't believe that our Lord is saying, here, you need to go to the pool of Siloam or one of these pools in Israel and wash your eyes. But our Lord's saying this, I'm the only one that can make blinded eyes to see. Amen. He's saying he's the only one that has that ability. And by the way, they may have had perfect 20/20 physical vision, but spiritually they were blind. Amen. You know what causes us to see? It takes the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Scriptures. That's what gives us light that we can see. Our Lord directs people to His Word, and through His Spirit, they gain spiritual sight. Here's some scriptures on that. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Amen. Our Lord said this in John 5:39. You know it well. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Amen. Our Lord said, you need to get in your Bible. He's talking to religious people. You need to read your Bible. You need to study. And by the way, I know you hear it over and over again. But I wonder if you even, if you carry a Bible, do you open the Bible? Do you read the Bible? That's where we get our spiritual insight. We don't get spiritual insight from listening to the radio. Thank God for good gospel radio. Amen. But God feeds His people through His Word. Amen. And we need to be in the Bible, studying our Bible, reading the Bible, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, by the way. And the Spirit will not speak contrary to the Scriptures. John chapter 6, verse 63, our Lord said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then John 16:13, He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Amen. So, our Lord rebukes this crowd. He said, you're bragging about your riches. You're bragging about how well off you are, that you have no needs. He said, the truth is, you're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. You have absolutely nothing. And so our Lord rebuked these people. They have formed an assembly. They've called it a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they don't have Christ in the midst. They don't have spiritual riches. They have no faith. They do not have the only thing that pleases God. Amen. They do not have a robe of righteousness. And they appear naked to God and to the world. And they're spiritually blind about it. These people are blind leaders of the blind. That's what he's talking about. Now, how sad would it be to get to the judgment and find out that we were supposedly leading somebody else? And by the way, everybody has somebody following them. Everybody does. Somebody's following you. Amen. But if you're blind, how are you leading the blind? Our Lord said in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. Amen. Now here's what I'm saying in closing. We see that not only this crowd should not have been boasting about their supposed riches, their spiritual wealth. In actuality, they should have been ashamed. They should have been humiliated. They should have been confessing instead of boasting about what they had. Amen. They should have gone to Christ and had that intimate relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is spiritual wealth. They had been guilty of living in a fantasy world. They're living in a dream world. They needed to open their eyes to reality. And our Lord said, you're blind. You need to open your eyes to what's really there. What a rebuke. What a rebuke. But on the other hand, what grace. That God would even give them a diagnosis. They didn't ask Him. They didn't come and say, Lord, would you tell me what's wrong with me? They thought there was nothing wrong with them. And yet the Lord, in His mercy, knocked on their door and said, you've got a need. And there ain't but one person in all the universe that can meet your need. And I'm here. What grace that our Lord would knock on the door of these people that had an unknown, an unseen danger. They were blind leaders of the blind. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to ask a question. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? And how close is that relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you need to make changes? Do you need to draw up a little closer? You need to search your own heart? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. I thank You, Lord, for the fact, as was said already this morning, that just a few months ago You showed up in this place and lifted the scales off the eyes of some folk that they could recognize their need. And in time, they is able to call on the Lord and have that need met. Father, I pray that You'd do so again. Now, I'm not picking out people, but Lord, I'm convinced that sometimes there's people hiding in the crowd, covering up with an apron of religion, and yet unsaved. And the very fact that You brought us to this point, and that You had mercy on the folks of the Church of the Laodiceans, they thought they were doing good, but You showed them their error. Lord, I pray You do the same again. Open blinded eyes. Cause people to see their nakedness. Cause them to feel their exposure. And cause them to run to Christ, that they may be clothed upon with His, Your robe of righteousness. That they might receive that heavenly gold, which is Jesus, in their heart by faith. Lord, I pray, move in this time and get the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord, do whatever He says do. What are we singing, brother? Page number 41. If you need to come, would you come?